very familiar Christmas account this morning from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Merry Christmas. We gather this morning, Christmas Day, to commemorate the birth of Jesus. He has come to the world as a little baby, and he saves us from ourselves and our sins. But I'll bet that much of what we've heard this morning, especially in some of our households, has been, "Santa came. Look at all those gifts. What'd you get? Oh, wow, it's just what I wanted." Even if maybe it wasn't. So I'll ask you, too. What Christmas presents did you get? And I spell that word presents the way it's spelled in the bulletin. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Today, most people think of P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. And there were presents, T-S, there that first Christmas as well. Well, shortly thereafter. We read this morning about the visit of the Magi sometime after Jesus' birth. And I know that they weren't there the first night or day. But with the emphasis of gift-giving in our society, I want us to look at this part of the story today and talk about presents with a T-S as opposed to presents with a C-E. In the Gospel according to Matthew, the Magi come from the east to find the newly born Messiah. They traveled a long distance and for a long time in order to reach Bethlehem. And by the way, here I will put in a plug. I will probably mention it again later. But the Christmas music, which we were not able to have last Sunday because of the ice storm shutting down everything, will be on January the 8th. When the church began celebrating Christmas, the visit of the Magi was not celebrated until January 6th in something that was called Twelfth Night, 12 days after Christmas. So really, if we sing, and especially if we sing at Christmas time about Magi, about wise men, we're a little bit early. And so by the Christmas music being on the 8th, everybody has come and already made their departure. But it took the Magi a long time to get there. As they journeyed They may have encountered different hindrances to their travels, even running the risk of attack from bandits. But they persisted in their journey to present their gifts. In fact, if they are anything like many of us are, if we travel places and we have gifts piled in the back seat or in the trunk or perhaps sitting in the window, they might have even checked and double-checked after their little pit stops to make sure the gifts were still there and someone hadn't come and gotten them. After all, these were presents to give to a king, a new king in Israel. As they came close to Jerusalem, the king of the day, Herod the Great, summoned them, wondering what they were doing so far from home. I'm sure that he expected gifts from them because that was a common custom in the ancient world. If you traveled across another king's territory, it was customary to present that king with some kind of tribute. We're not told if the Magi presented Herod with any gifts or not. But if they did, the gifts were probably less significant than what they brought for the new king. And their presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, was a sign of great things to come. Their presence, T-S, to the child had to be of a type to bring honor and recognition to him and to themselves as Magi. When they arrive in Bethlehem, the family is no longer in a stable. They've moved temporarily into a house. Small and modest, I'm sure. The shepherds have come and gone a long time ago, spreading the good news of hope and spreading the hope of the message of the angel and their encounter with the Christ child. As the Magi enter the house, perhaps they thought at first maybe they were even making a mistake. Surely a king would be born in better surroundings with a large entourage to care for his every need. Yet as they look upon this child and his mother, the Magi who have brought gifts, presents, experience the rush of the presence of God in this small child. When they bow in adoration and humility, presenting gifts fit for a king and all of his majesty, we are often awed by the expensiveness of those gifts. Gold, whether it's the gold standard today or the gold standard in ancient times, is a very expensive gift. If not, go and buy a ring or a gold necklace. Frankincense and myrrh were both expensive gifts, and interestingly enough, used in the burial process. But think, wow, what presents! Gold and frankincense and myrrh. These guys must have been wealthy. And in our Christmas plays, these gifts are given with all the pomp and circumstance of kings. But as great as these presents might seem to be, they paled then and they pale today when compared to the presents within Jesus the Christ. The bishop, Athanasius, wrote, "Christmas reminds us that in the words of one of the ancient theologians of the church, the Lord did not come to make a display. God came to put Himself at the disposal of those who needed Him." In other words, it is God's Christmas, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence that is the greatest of presents for both the simple shepherds. and the grandiose. Kings. Harry Bohr writes, "The point of Christmas is that the simplest soul is told that God understands him. It tells that God identifies with his problems, sorrows, hopes, frustrations, and joys. God knows them not because God made him, not because God is all-knowing, but because God became a simple soul, for God became a human being. God, who is the ever-blessed second person of the Trinity, became what we call a person." In other words, God gives God's presence in the Christ. Presence with a C-E, in joy, in sorrows, in hopes, in difficulties, even in death. So that our lives, physically and spiritually, are ever present within him and his heart. It is in the presentation of the gift of presence to us, in us, and around us, that God's presence continues to be available, not only to you and me, but to others today. Noted New Testament theologian Raymond Bryan Brown writes, "God can no longer use Mary and the shepherds and the wise men and Peter and James and John to tell his story. But he keeps coming at Christmas, hoping to find others like Mary who will listen to what he has to say and who will see what he can do. He still comes and asks for our help. He asks us to bear the message of what he has done and is doing and will do in the world through the birth of that one child." And I would add, God gives us his presence not to keep for ourselves, but to present to all others, the simple, the wise, the poor, and the wealthy. For even in our midst are the simple, the wise, the poor, and the wealthy. So I would ask again, what Christmas presents did you get? And what will you do with it? May we pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift, the present, that you gave and continue to give in your presence in Jesus of Nazareth, our Christ, our Lord, and the Lord of the world. We ask that as we unwrap that presence within us and around us, that we will joyfully share it, not keeping it for ourselves, but giving it away freely, that others may know your presence. And when the question is asked, what Christmas presents did you get? Our lives will reflect the presence of the Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn, our carol, shouts out that good news. It is hymn number 88. As we stand and as we sing, "Joy to the World," may we truly proclaim loudly, "Joy to the World, because the Lord is come." Hymn number 88.